Gee, there's a lot on the catch-up today, isn't there?
Oh, there's a ton. We talked shark nets around the Byron Bay Ballina area. That was interesting. We also, Marto had a go at schoolies rules, which was absolutely fair enough.
No,
too,
you know what was interesting? Forget all that. Oh, that you were once a debt collector. We just thought you were just a dirty video store.
And a Sega World employee.
See ya.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Ed Cavley, what an enigma you are. What a dark horse you've proven to be, son.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Until yesterday, I was under the impression that you only had three real jobs in the world. That one, working at the video store, which you always tell us
eight
about.
8.5 years, yes.
Was that 8.5 years?
9 years, 9 years, yep.
This is like your CV. Remember, there's one where you were selling ice creams, I think, at the sports.
Yep, and sports
stadiums.
Sports stadiums and concerts. Yep, Madonna, Michael Jackson, many others.
Yeah, and people would go, you know, you're obviously selling ice creams. You got any pies? Yeah,
you
hilarious.
Got any pies?
And the other one was, of course, and we were fascinated by this one, Sega World. Sega down World. In Sydney, you worked for a little while.
Yeah, look, Sega World was Sega was going to take on Disney World, Disneyland, and have an interactive experience. And I worked in the safari part of the Sega World experience. Yeah. And I remember we all got called in one day and said, look, this hasn't taken off the way we'd hoped in Darling Harbour in Sydney. And
I can remember it.
That perhaps it's time that we all started thinking about getting other jobs. Mm. And I looked, I was dressed in a safari suit with a pith helmet. And I looked at the guy next to me that was dressed as like an old prospector with a fake mustache and stuff. And I said, what job do you think you and I could get dressed like this? And he didn't think it was funny.
Did you steal anything on the way out?
Well, it's funny that because I fully intended to take the safari outfit and then anything Sega based that wasn't nailed down. Yeah. I was very happy to steal on the way out of
the workplace.
Were
you allowed to wear that home? Like, were you on public transport dressed in that outfit?
Well, that was going to be part of the gag. Yeah. Just keep the outfit, it'd be funny. All those sort of things. But they got really like, you know, there's the security guards like hanging around on the way out and not searching people, but not searching people. Like if I'd walked out and I had a massive sort of like spiky bulge in my jacket, they'd go, give us back the Sonic head. We know it's in there.
Yeah.
But that's not where the resume ends.
That's not what we're really talking about because yesterday you've unveiled yourself a little bit more.
Thank you. I was a debt collector once. I lasted.
Hello. There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, I was a debt collector. Well, I had no prospects. I'd left school and I didn't get very good marks and I was hoping to try and get into university somehow and I was lost. And then I answered an ad in the paper that said that if you wanted to come, I thought I might go and work in an office. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll work in an office.
Your time at the video store?
I was still at the video store at night, but I thought I got to do something during the day. So I thought I'll go and get a job in an office. So I got this. I went to this job interview. I got a tie. Went there and they said, you got the job. I said, fantastic. And I used to go in there and what it was is you used to have to collect debts for a telecommunications company and they sell the debts on. If you don't pay, they sell the debts on.
I've just had one of them recently,
Well, that was me. This was before most of these things took place, you know, on the subcontinent. And so I was in these massive desks, this massive hall of desks where there were just phones everywhere.
Call center style.
Yeah, and it was like Wolf of Wall Street. There were awful people that worked there. And if you got someone's debt, if they agreed to pay or whatever,
rang.
Yeah, they stand up and shout, and we all had to clap for them, and they would write up how much they got on the whiteboard. And then
talking here? Like $100, $200?
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Wow. Yeah.
And I had this whole I had this whole spiel about, if you don't pay, then the sheriff's coming around to put a sticker on your luxury items.
That's all it is. It's threats, isn't it? And then people go, ooh, I'm scared. I'm going to pay.
But the woman who sat next to me used to be a stripper. And
now we're getting interested.
Yeah. And I was,
What did she threaten people with?
Well, nothing. She just had this great voice. And she just was so sort of, I don't know, she just is so magnetic that people would just, she'd just ring them up, and even though I was on the phone, they just hand over money. Anyway, I was there for
Her name? Was it Candy or something?
She didn't use her stripper
name. Oh, I didn't use her stripper name.
Hello, this is Diamond, so I'm ringing her. What's wrong with you? And I lasted a very short amount of time.
Did the bell ever ring for you?
The boss came over at one point, put his hand on my shoulder and goes, "Mate, can we have a chat?" I said, "Yeah, no worries." And we went to his office and he goes, "Mate, you haven't
rung the bell.
You haven't got anyone over the time you've been here." I said, "Yeah, still finding my feet." And he goes, yeah. And I just checked your call log. I didn't know they could do that. They could check when you're phone. He goes, "You haven't called anyone for an hour and a half."
Have you been looking at the girl at the former stripper?
I was listening to her and then just sort of walking around getting a cup of tea and doing like office things. Like I'd get a cup of tea and stand next to someone and go, "Ugh, never ends, does it?"
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
I'm a dying breed, aren't I? I realised that yesterday when we were having a chat after the show. And one of the young men who works here said, "Who reads papers anymore?" Hello, here I am. I'm still here.
Yes.
And all right, this morning. So I open up. I want to point out something. When I no longer work on the radio, I'm going to be one of these people who writes letters to the editor.
All right, dear sir.
Don't always get to this part of the paper, but when you do, it's a special treat. And I'll tell you the difference between newspapers. The people who write letters to the editor explain the paper on one page.
That's great.
Here's The Australian. Would that be, well, how would you describe The Australian, our foremost journal?
It's the centre-right journal of the, and it's got longer articles. It's a big paper. It does in-depth things. So I think it's probably, for those that read The Australian, they like to know that they read The Australian. Like it is a thing. Like if they read a newspaper, a proper newspaper that they would call The Australian.
Okay. Well, here's Bevan Dockery from Bull Creek, WA. If gender is a social construct, how is it that the gender of a fetus can be determined from a scan taken before birth? Or John Morrissey from Hawthorne. One is that, in what appears to be the triumph of the leftist cultural elites, they have now become the new reactionaries, baffled and outraged at any challenge to their hegemony and out of touch with ordinary people with ordinary concerns.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, okay, John.
All right, so let's just put The Australian away, shall we?
Yes. Good. Yep.
Here's one of my favourite newspapers. It's called the Gold Coast Bulletin.
Oh, yeah.
Can anyone explain why there's so many flies at Currumbin Beach and Alley? The council really needs to address this problem. Thanks, Sue from Currumbin.
Thanks, Sue.
All right, you'll love this one. This is from Beth from Southport. Don't worry about schoolies getting harmed by harder drugs. They're already immune. Worry about ibises getting urinated on like at last year's schoolies.
who's pissing on ibises?
Oh, yes.
And Beth is very concerned. She must have looked out a window at Southport one day and gone, "Oi, hey, get out of it."
That's it. I'm writing a letter.
Amata, you are the proud owner of a brand new...
Oh, my God. A drone.
You've got a drone.
It arrived yesterday. Now, I said we did that bank rewards with credit card. You got. There's groundbreaking. I've never asked for anything. They sent out a brochure going, "Mr. Martin, they must have been building up for years. I've been with Bank of Queensland forever. All the points must have built up." They had the brochure, and I went, "Harry, what do you reckon we should get?" And he just went, "Drone." I went, "Wouldn't a drone be unreal?" We arrived yesterday. He was good at it too. He just used his phone. I won't be able to do it. It's like a helicopter.
Yes, because you once had a remote control helicopter that smashed on the first flight. It was never seen again.
Harry, it got caught in the tree, the drone, but no worries. We got the pool thing and got it off the tree. It was a bit of wind around yesterday, but they're amazing. He can film himself surfing and film himself because he always films skateboarding and surfing. Now he can do it from above.
So is that the purpose of this drone? The purpose of this drone is to film surfing/skateboarding.
Is that a waste of time? Because I think he thinks it arrived, and because he's the one who can use it, my son, 17-year-old son, it appears to be his already. I thought I was getting it to check out gutters to find out where fish were there before, without having to throw my line in. You just go and go, oh, there's some fish there. Hmm. I'm on.
Okay. Those are two uses. I'd love to know, for those who have a drone, what do you use it for? Because they are the number one or two selling recreational, whatever it was, hobby item last year.
I saw one three houses down from me the other night. House was lit up like a Christmas tree. They're getting ready to sell their house. Drone photos of real estate. That's the modern world. They used to use those long selfie sticks.
Yeah.
Now just everyone's droning it.
So do you have a drone if in your work or in your personal life? And what do you use it for? Domino's just started delivering pizza via drone.
Awesome. Bull.
Yeah. It happened just a couple of days ago. So what if, do you have a drone in your life? Wow. Does your children have a drone? Does your workplace have a drone?
Does your bottle shop have a drone?
Because I have to say that my brother-in-law has one who's 18 years old.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He has his to use to film surfing and to film other things. And it does seem to me like a fairly large waste of money.
No, it's the modern world. You know, when phones came out with a light so you can check things, it's got the light. There's often times you can't get your eye or head in there. You'll just stick your phone and go, that's what's going in behind there.
Right,
I wonder if drones are being used on building sites or anything, or in any sites.
Is your footy team using it to look at your defensive patterns?
God.
Are you now the preeminent skateboard filmer? What are you doing? You got a drone, or are you a perv?
God, imagine that. You live in a tower and you can just do laps with your drone and check out what everyone's up to.
Edward from Mount Cravat. Good morning, Ed. Talk us through the drone use. Is this at work?
Yeah, a good friend of mine works on big sites, building like big industrial sheds, and he was over one afternoon. He said, there was a drone floating around his site one day, and it turned out it was a health and safety officer checking everyone out, making sure everyone was wearing their helmets and harnesses and everything.
Oh. So he doesn't even have to get out of his car, I suppose. He just sits in his car and mobile phones it and then moves on.
Well, apparently there was a few folks that got fined because he got photos of him with his drone not wearing their helmets and stuff.
Wow. That's a good tip, Ed. If you see a drone flying over your work site, that's a really good tip. The health and safety officers.
Because otherwise those health and safety guys come on and everyone yells out, yeah, HSO's on board, and everyone puts their helmet on and everyone just sorts themselves out.
Okay, so sort of health and safety checks. Brad from Redcliffe, is this at work as well? Your wife's boss has a drone?
That's correct, guys, that's correct. He does surveying with it.
Surveying what sort of surveying?
Land surveying. He'll measure the gradient of land. He'll measure the thickness of something. He can fly it up and down gas pipelines and check for hotspots. Check the depth of concrete on a high rise building.
Oh my
so,
god!
So has it made his
he's
work?
He's even gone to the extent of becoming a licensed trainer to hand out licenses for these things.
So Brad, does that mean has his work become a lot easier thanks to this drone?
Well, he's just created a whole new business out of it. Are you seeing an opportunity there and taking it on board? I mean, if you can cut costs in your business, why not?
Well, are you supposed to have a license for this thing? What do we say?
For certain applications, yes.
No, not for my application.
So your little domestic ones, yeah, you don't need one. But if you're going to use like a big one for photography or whatnot, you do need a license.
You'd accidentally see a lot of things with a drone, wouldn't you? There are things that you went, what was that in the background just then?
Some things you don't tell your mates about anyway.
Yeah, that's what
beautiful.
I mean.
Beautiful. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Mark's from Kedron. Mark, what do you use? You got a theory about drone use?
I wouldn't be surprised that the unions might be using them. We're on a ununionised site at Kedron doing a block of units up on the roof, and a drone was watching us for about 15 minutes, and then we worked out where it was operated from. There was a guy hiding in the bushes. Once we sent someone down to suss him out, he came out of the bushes in his thongs and stuff, pair of shorts, got the drone killed in the boot and drove off. And then a couple of days later, workplace health and safety turned up.
Oh.
So, and we're not a union site, so we don't know whether maybe the union. And then a couple of streets away on another block that's not unionised, same thing again a couple of days later. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Mark,
this is possible. I'm not going to go that you might be overly paranoid. This is very possible.
Well, look what happened. Yeah. Mark's living proof that there was a drone, and then there was real life consequences after. Mm. After
unless
the
they
drone.
Were upshorting some of the workers, some chick trying to have a perv.
Goodness me.
This is quite incredible. I'm not saying do this, but what happens if, like, if I accidentally threw a hammer and it knocked the drone out of the sky? Have I done the? If it's over my work site, have I done the wrong thing? That's a question for another
Whoa,
day.
Whoa! What a hypothetical. Hmm.
If a drone falls at a work site and no one was there to see it, did it make? Does it? Yes. Did it take place?
All right, that's enough.
As the ancient proverb goes.
Yes. Lead, I know the whole world stopped when we found this news out, but in Stuttgart the other night, there was a big moment for the Australian men's chopperoos.
And the winner of the World Championship 2016 in Stuttgart, Australia!
Timber Sports World Champions.
Timber Sports World Champions, because we're having so much trouble with our sporting teams, but we've got some world champions
some
in Timber Sports.
Mitch Argent from the member of the Chopperoos. Good morning, sir.
Hey, young boys.
Righto.
The Chopperoos. If people don't know much about the Chopperoos, who are the Chopperoos and what do they do, Mitchell?
Yeah, the Chopperoos are the Australian men's wood chopping team, and they chop wood.
But it's not like just the Eka. It's not just with an axe. Don't you use chainsaws and stuff too?
Yeah, so it's steel based, so they use steel chainsaws and cross cut saws and the axe too, so been involved in it.
Then congratulations, and how did you win? Like, is there a chop off at the end? Is there a grand final? How does it work?
Yeah, so you get there and there's 22 countries, and you have a time trial to start with. You're put in the pool with the other countries, and then you a knockout elimination from there. So you got five races, and if you get knocked out, you go home, and if you win, you keep progressing through to the final.
Now, what are you the specialist at, Mitch?
I'm the standing block cutter, so I go last, Angerman, and hopefully bring the boys home most of the time.
Obviously you did. Hey, were they ahead or behind? As in the Chopperoos, when you wielded the axe?
We were just in front, so there wasn't much pressure. I mean, I just had to cut him properly and got to get the win.
Is there anything Mitch could offer to the Australian cricket team?
Well, the way they're going, I reckon I can outbat a few of them the way they're going.
You can outbat a few of them. That's the
long handle to the attack right there from Mitchell.
Well, we wanted a good news story for Australian sport, and we found one. The Chopperoos, the steel timber...
We salute you, Choppers.
Sports world. Champions. And Mitch, when you're not chopper-rooing, what do you do?
Oh, well, I do a little bit of chippy work when I'm at home, but that's about it.
He's a carpenter. Do you use a drop saw or just to get your axe out? That's close enough.
Use a drop saw, but I'm probably a bit more accurate with the axe.
You know, when go to the pub, where are you, Black Butt, up near Kingaroy? When you go to the pub, do you wear your white trousers and your white singlet?
No, I reckon you'd be getting a bit of strife if you wore that down there. Get picked on a bit.
All right, Mitchell.
I love
Mitchell Argentin from the Chopperoos, world champion in steel timber sports for Australia. Good on you, Mitch.
Thanks, boys.
Brisbane Roar take on Sydney FC this Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium. Tickets from $16 at ticketek.com.au.
Okay, so, Marta, will wars, a war over a will. Mm. Now, this can take the form of very small things like, hang on a sec, you know, a beloved parent or grandparent dies and, wait a second, you go to get that bit of furniture that you thought you might like and it's gone. And you go, hang on a sec, one of my relatives has nabbed this quickly.
Oh, yeah, that goes on, getting into the house first after the last surviving member of that family has died, you know, that branch of the family has died, and taking dining room tables, taking the good stuff.
Is that
what you want to talk about?
Yeah. Have you had something like that?
And I've seen when families get involved, putting stickers on things before the mother's dead, like bagsing. Oh, those orange stickers, they're mine. You have to get your own. You'll have to get pink stickers or something other if you want to bags any of the furniture.
Wow.
Oh, this nonsense. It's a terrible thing. Before people died, they were going around bagsing stuff.
Edelston, he's...
Who, Jeffrey Edelston?
Yeah, reportedly in one with his brother over his mother's will. The mother had tons of money.
Oh, this is why he's still rich. I wondered about how he still got his money. I thought he went broke.
And in the leaked text messages between him and his, I don't know what she was, latest, he was talking about that. He was talking a little bit about inheritance and rah, 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 rah. So he's not talking... Apparently, they're saying, the reports are that he's not talking to his brother over it. Right, that's it. He says he looked after it.
How much are we talking? Is there a figure?
They won't say.
Is it tens of millions?
They won't say. They just keep calling it a multi-million dollar estate.
Oh, righto. I bet they're not talking. This is what happens. It splits families up. We grew a little greed and death, and all of a sudden you got families not talking and Christmas is spoiled.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If there is a... Because like, this is the other thing that keeps happening, you know, that there's parents helping children out buy houses, you know, for, which is which is almost a necessity these days.
Yeah.
What happens with the parents' family home when they... If the parents pass away or if the parents move on, what... Do you just split them? Do you sell the family home and split the money, or does someone go and live in it? How does that work?
I don't know. I haven't had to do this yet, so not involved with this.
Huh.
I don't know.
Because you'd think that would be the case, wouldn't it? But what if someone wants to live there? What if someone wants to move their family?
Well, they've got to pay for the other... Let's say there's four kids. They've got to pay for the other three, pay the other three out, I guess.
But there's no... But why sell? It'll just keep going up in value. Why not just keep it for the, you know, for the next generation after that?
Oh, God, I don't know. But you'll never know until you're in this situation about the emotions, because every family thinks they're rock solid, and then all of a sudden when money gets involved, there's jealousies and trouble starts.
And then do partners come into it who don't have the family history, who just see it for what it is and go, what are you talking about? Sell the house or grab that. You're the one that looked after or whatever it is.
Oh, and then if there's a second family, this is when it gets messy, when there's a second family involved. So you got your first family, then you move on to your second. You know, the bloke's moved on to his second wife if he was a wealthy bloke, and then they want dibs on it, and there's kids there, and there's the original kids. Oh, mate, this would be ugly.
What about when Trump dies? When Trump dies, it's going to, you know, when he's, you know, assassinated in office in the next couple of days by a rampant global warming enthusiast.
Mate, that's a chance to happen, yeah?
If anyone's, you can be anonymous, of course you can.
What are you calling this? A will war?
Yeah, if anyone's been involved, even in a light way, in one of these will wars, what happens? How does this stuff resolve itself?
You know, my dad died earlier this year, and my brother and I stood there in front of his walk-in wardrobe. Mum said, take whatever you want, and I took the hankies and singlets and a pair of slippers, and my brother took some belts and a couple of pairs of shorts, and there was no fighting. No need for fighting.
That's well. There you go. That's civilized. Paul from Kashmir. Now, this was a mate of yours, was it?
Yeah, mate.
What happened?
Yeah, he lived up the bush, and his mother decided she'd stay on the farm, wouldn't leave the farmhouse. The rest of the family sort of moved away down the coast in Brizzy, and he used to take her out shopping Thursdays, church on Sundays, mow a lawn for her. Anyway, she had a heart attack, and they rushed her to hospital, and he went up, sat with her bedside, and he'd rang all the family, let them know.
Oh, what a man.
And anyway, nobody came. And then on the Sunday, the doctor said, she's a tough old bird. You can take her home. She's fine. So they headed home, and the mother said to him when they drove up the driveway, they left the door open. And when they got there, there was no doors, no windows, no furniture. They cleaned the joint out. Didn't come to see her, say goodbye.
They didn't go to hospital.
Wow.
But they went to her house and took everything.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, mate. Pretty crazy, eh? But you can guess who's in the will now, or not.
yeah, that's exactly. Right. You can. That's so interesting. And can you? I wonder, because it's illegal to disinherit a child. I wonder if it's. I wonder if the distribution of such things is legislated as well. I wonder if it has to be equal.
Mm.
That's interesting. All right, Carolyn.
Poor old bird sitting on a milk crate when she gets out of hospital.
That's
horrible.
That was terrible. Carolyn from Annerley. Has this happened to your family?
How are you going?
Hi, Carolyn.
Good, Carolyn. On my mother's side, both my parents had died before the grandparents had died. And grandmother was actually in a nursing home. And the remaining aunt and uncle actually had gone in about a year before she died and cleared out all her house and sold the antique furniture. And
another
there
case.
Was nothing.
What are they?
Hadn't even died.
Can they wait? Can you please just hold on a second? I'm still here.
We didn't actually want that much. It was just, I was actually supposed to get my grandfather had won some crystal vases for growing roses. I was meant to have those. And one of my brothers, he just wanted a few little things that he'd actually given grandma over the years, and everything was just gone.
Did you make any moves to get any of it back, Carolyn?
There was no. There was no way. There was no communication, nothing. They just did everything.
Thank you, Carolyn. What a
terrible.
We've uncovered something here, mate.
Scumbaggery of the highest order.
This is a scummy thing to do. Okay, Julie. Will Wars. Who was involved in one, Julie?
My dad and his sister were there after their parents died.
Yeah.
She tried to swindle money out of his side of the will when she was living with the parents because she had excess costs because she was a feral, had holes in the walls when they were trying to, like, sell the house. And, she went to the lawyers and everything and tried to swindle money out of my dad's side of the account, even though he paid for both the funerals and everything.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. This is it, isn't it? This is what's happening. People just wait. Like, they're not even waiting for people to die and just taking things and taking advantage of
it. I don't want to hear anymore.
No.
This is horrible.
I'm just imagining your children fighting over your terry-tailing shorts.
You have them. No, you have them.
No, you have them. Yeah. Okay, so we want to talk cricket.
Marlo, we should sound a siren whenever we talk cricket. And I like cricket, but you just love it.
I love my cricket, and I grew up, you know, watching AB when I was younger, and then Steve Waugh's team, who, even if we were losing or if we lost, it was a battle. It was a fight. It was
two tough mongrel dogs, those two.
Let's not forget that two of our best batsmen, Mark Waugh and Steve Waugh, they were twin brothers. And they wouldn't say a word to each other in the middle. They would never even acknowledge each other's like achievements. They were so hard. They were so hard. They were just hard. Like Kasparovic, you know, he played. He was the third best seamer in a team, and he would be our best bowler by far right now.
Right now, that's a great call. Can I give you a stat I've just read this morning? Yep. Alan Border, because you're saying how much you love him, and Captain Grumpy. That's probably who Steve Smith needs to become. Just get stuck into him, because players didn't want to go into the dressing room and have to face Alan Border, so they actually played better. In his 20, so he scored 25 Test centuries. Alan Border, only 3 were scored in Tests won by Australia. Let's assume a lot of the other ones were drawn, not just losses. But he allowed Australia to actually survive in Test cricket. Without them, without him, they would have crumbled. This is where we are now.
Mark from North Maclean. Mark, what did you want to say?
Mate, I just think they're paid too much.
Yep.
Yes.
The contracts they're on are unbelievable. The amount of money they get, they get free business class travel. I imagine they get put up in swish hotels. They get 3 or 4 overseas trips a year. That's all paid for, and then they get these huge pay packets on the top. Let's start cutting the pay. Put the pay cut that we get back into grassroots cricket, and see which ones are actually keen enough with the lower wage to actually want to play the game and be on the field and play.
What do you reckon? Get paid per run and paid per wicket or something?
Well, no. No, they don't have to get paid per run. They just, I mean, what are they on average?
No, you're right.
Remember that last year of Shane? You remember Shane Watson was on $4 million a year or something or other at one stage?
Yeah,
Michael
like
Clark
that.
Was on something similar.
Yeah, it's quite outrageous. Oh. Mark, you've taken what I was going to re-quote AB about. He was talking about how when he was started out, you know, Adam Gilchrist, remember he showed us his first contract with Kookaburra, with his first contract was like $2,000.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. And now the thought is, and AB was talking about this, so he's saying, look, maybe what the West Indies do is they just have their very best players. They go and they have to play. They play T20s all around the world because that's where the money is.
They'd make their money,
But the Australian players don't have that. You can make an unbelievable living playing cricket for Australia at Test level. You don't need to go and do all of these 2020 tournaments around the world. You can if you want to, but all it ends up doing is leading to injury and meaning that you only know how to bat for 4 overs. Here's John from Hawthorn. John, what do you want to say, mate?
Mate, I agree with you totally. I think the T20, as good as it is, I think it's almost like fast food. People just want it now, but they've lost the classic, you know, menu of Test cricket where it's sort of that's the pinnacle. That's what everybody should be reaching for, not this fast food cricket, which is great. Mm. But you know, Test cricket, you know, it makes T20 doesn't make the front page of the Courier Mail. The Test team does.
That's very true.
John? Yeah, that's true. I read a stat the other day. Only 23% of Australians under 25 years of age have tasted a Big Mac.
Well, there you go.
They've gone on to the fancy parts of the menu.
Okay, so, John, that's a really interesting point, but maybe that's where we're going to end up. Maybe it's going to be T20 and that's what the major part of the sport's going to be. And Test cricket just ends up being, you know, something that a couple of nuffies and purists like us end up watching over summer. Maybe it's just going to...
But it'll all be decided. If India don't want to watch Test cricket anymore, that's what decides what the world will end up watching because Mark, all their money and size.
So Mark's talked about the amount of money that they're getting paid. I tell you what will affect that if the TV rights deal at Channel 9 comes up and
that's
they're
going
only
on at the moment
3 days of Test cricket and we're losing at the end of it, you watch how quickly they go, hey, boys, we might knock off a couple of $1 million from your TV rights deal because, to be honest with you, we're sick of having to show Jumanji instead of the fourth day of cricket. Marta, you've got yourself two millennial children, and I believe that they are a great example of millennials that want to work. Your daughter's got, what, 2-3 jobs these days?
She's got another one yesterday.
See? Yeah. This is what I'm talking about.
So she's got three actively going.
And your son, Harry, he's
promised he wants to work when school is over. We'll see how that turns out.
He's a well-meaning amateur. And we have a millennial with us in the studio. Millennials are people up to the age of 25, 26. Brendan, you are how old?
26.
Yeah, very responsible, does a great job for us, always hard work. You started out working for free in radio and now you've worked your way down to working with us.
Yes. No,
so you're not going to be critical because, Brendan, you are a great example. Mate, I'll give you a rap too.
Thanks, guys.
So, I'm not being critical of those, but you read about it sometimes, you know, millennials are up themselves. There was an article, well, not an article, there was a discussion going on in loser cricket circles that I follow, which is about how millennials are ruining the test team. It's Sookie. You can't tell them. Remember, they dropped Glenn Maxwell from Victoria the other day, and everyone sooked so much, they said, no, you got to pick him. Well, why? He's not good enough.
No, well, you don't want a Sookie Maxwell. And so, the scrolling generation, they want instant gratification. That's what they're the generalizations. I
hear it all
the
time. And in soccer, I hear it all the time. In the soccer circles, you hear it all the time about how you can't even just have a firm word to someone who's under the age of 26, is they'll just, you know, pack
oh,
up.
Oh, they shop crumple.
And go,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're generalizations. That's not
okay.
All of them,
no,
is
no,
it?
I got to throw one at you because there's something else.
Oh, this is you
on.
Saw something in a bank. Yeah. Well, yeah. You never got to the bottom of this.
Something I call default selfie personality. Oh. Someone who is quite clearly obsessed
write
with
that down.
Instagram,
contagious.
Twitter, Facebook, and that type of thing, to the point where they start speaking like they're doing posts. Because posts all have worked themselves out to the point where they've all got a language that everybody follows. Like a photo, the moment when, insert something stupid here, right?
This
I was in a bank and I was doing something important with my wife in a bank and we had to go in. And there was a girl at the front counter and she was 23, 24 max, right?
Just for young kids, that's the place on the other side of the ATM. There's people sometimes in there.
Sorry. And I was asking to do something, and it was important, mate. It was worth a lot of, you know, to me, a lot of money. And she was sort of tapping. She kept saying, "How's your day going?" And I'm like, "We're not in Cookeye. Leave me alone. I don't care how my day's going. What
What's
I care
Cookeye?
About." It's a clothing shop. It's a clothing shop for girls that my wife sometimes goes into. Oh. And as soon as you go into it, you're bombarded with 3 or 4 very cute girls who are doing a great job folding clothes. They turn around and go, "Hey, guys, how's your day going?"
Yes, I've got you. That's a great call.
It was okay until I had to go into Cookeye. And so then, she's mucking around my green. And then she looks up and she goes, this is what she said to me. I wrote it down. Yeah. I wrote it down because I couldn't believe she was saying this to me. Yeah. She goes, "Ugh, guys. Our system has been totally slow as today." This is a bank.
They're obviously dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars of your mortgage money. And she's...
"Our system has been totally slow today." And then she shouted over her shoulder to her workmate, "Trav." And he goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "I'm trying to help these guys with this account, but it's like, it's just not loading." And he goes, "Are you in?" And he shouted out the name of the system. And she goes, "No, I'm in the other one." And he goes, "No, that's in that one." She goes, "Oh, whoops."
Whoops.
I never want to hear someone at a bank say whoops. Ever.
Oh, God.
And I thought to myself, she's not up to it. And I just walked out and I was ranting to my wife.
Different styles.
No, she is not up to it.
Yeah, she shouldn't be working in a bank. You're right. She should be selling bikinis.
Yeah. So, what is it like to hire a millennial? In all walks of life here, tradies and non-tradies, what's it like? Give them a rap or give them a slap. I know it's hard to generalize, but there is that type of personality which is just, I'm going to call it Sookie, and I'm going to call it, I've had it too easy.
Carefree?
And carefree about anything, because everything's just on your phone. It's all my follow your bliss. There's too many people following their bliss. She was following her bliss in the bank.
Yeah, that's not the place for it.
Scott's from Lightwich.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I have about 14 of them work for me.
Any of them say whoops occasionally?
They say more than warts. Yeah. One of them asked me the other day if I could get cruise control fitted to the car so that she wouldn't get pulled up to speed. Okay. I thought that was good.
Yeah, aftermarket cruise control is a difficult and expensive exercise. Let's use that as the example. They want everything?
They want everything. They're self-centered, conceited, tell me what I should do, shouldn't do. It's quite interesting working with them.
Scott? Is that what they come up to? I've got some ideas to really make this business hum, Scotty.
Yeah.
Is that what they come up and tell you?
Oh, yeah. That's what they say. I thought you were one of them. Tell me.
Hey, Scotty, out of the 14, give us a rough idea. How many do the best job for you?
Is one out of 14 a good number?
I think
one in 14.
Yeah, that's like the Australian Test squad. One out of 14 is worth it. Thank you, Scotty.
God, you poor bugger. Amanda from Kingston, what do you know about millennials in the workplace?
Well, morning, boys. I have to, train occasionally the odd millennial, so I find they're a bit domestically challenged more often than not. These menial tasks that are just too much for them, like, peeling vegetables.
Most of the time,
following instructions isn't a great idea for them either. They're not real clued up on that.
If it's not YouTube, they don't want to know how to learn from it.
Well, I actually had somebody ask, could they watch a YouTube video to see how it was done? Yeah. And I said, well, that's what I'm here for, to show you how it's done.
Look at me, I'm alive.
Look at me. Yeah,
I'm live YouTube. Yeah. And if you know what, Amanda, you just have to do a little bit with a cat before it starts, and then that'll get their attention YouTube style, and then they're
rolling,
away.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Amanda.
There should be an app on how to, an app that can help you peel vegetables. That'd be the one.
Yes. That's the one. Please. Yeah, absolutely. Creason from Victoria Point. You work with a millennial. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, he's pretty useless. He walks around playing Pokemon Go half of the time, and when he stuffs up, he doesn't like to come into work the next day.
If he stuffs up, he doesn't come in.
Yeah, we had a job where he broke some cable, and he had a bad day, so he didn't come in the next day, and then the following day he came in half an hour late. So
Jesus,
did you have to apologize to him so you didn't hurt his feelings? Happened. You're not allowed to offend them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't offend them because everything's got to be handed to them on a platter. They can't work for anything.
No, Creason, I had a situation at the radio station once, mate. A millennial person in a job had signed me up for something that was in contradiction of two contracts that I already had that were, paying my bills. And when I brought this to their attention, later that day, I had to apologise.
You've seen how many times I apologise around here.
Yeah, but that's because you're mental. So here's May.
Don't say that about me. May.
Hello.
May. Yeah, what's your dealing with the millennials?
Oh, I had one for about 4 months, she was hopeless. She had the lowest pain threshold, and she thought she'd had a cold coming in, so she'd ring me she'd text me at 6 a.m. and say, I think I'm getting a cold, I can't work, she'd have a bad night's sleep and text me at 6 a.m., I had a bad night's sleep, I'm not coming in today. And my favourite one that I got one day was, she was an hour, she said to me, I'm going to be an hour late that day because I've got boot camp on. And I'm thinking, I don't give an F about boot camp. This is not a hobby that you're sitting around your life.
Mate, she only lasted 4 months. What was the final straw?
Well, the funny part was that every time that she wanted to miss a day and that she was sick and everything, she always corresponded via text or email.
Text.
I sent her an email at the end saying that I just couldn't afford to keep losing money and she was costing me money in business.
With a smiley face with it, I hope.
No. But she sent me back an email saying, how rude of you. You didn't even have the guts to talk to me face to face.
Oh, that's right.
And I just thought, sweetie, who's the kettle and who's the pot?
Oh, I love it.
Thank you so much to everybody. We do have to say, because, Marta, we do want to point out that we're just getting the bad stories. Ollie, we can't get to time, but Ollie's
Did we have any good ones?
We could always do that the other way around, but Ollie's a millennial. He's 26 years old. He's the GM of a gym, and he hires 50 millennials. He says it's a roller coaster. So that's what we're trying to point out. It feels as though the gap is widening between the ones that do want to work hard and the ones that don't give a stuff. And, Marta, who want to work.
Let's not forget, even when an oldie like me was 17, people were whinging about me. Me and my types, I suppose. Or you didn't go through the war. You wouldn't know what it's like. Be one of the big stories this morning, and it's a financial story, but it's BLK, Beyond Limits Known. It's an enormous clothing and sportswear company based at Helensvale down the coast. Ed, should we go through what BLK, well, who doesn't know? You go through some of their teams. Like, they've got six AFL teams, GWS, they're at Richmond, I think they're at St Kilda, they've got the Lions, the Suns, and somebody else, maybe the Adelaide Crows.
Yes.
They've got five of the Super Rugby teams, where BLK, you would have seen it all over the place. The netball teams, the Diamonds, our Australian team wears them, the New Zealand team wears BLK, England wears BLK, all the Big Bash teams, BLK, the Australian Lawn Bowls team, BLK. Oh,
okay. Yep,
Fiji Sevens side rugby team, the Olympic champions. So they're at the Olympics as well. They're everywhere. BLK, the receivers have been appointed. So obviously they've got terrible financial problems. Yeah. And
it's a shame because it was a local success story for a long time, was it not?
God, yeah. 10,000 teams throughout the world. Can I just, in 2000, and I reckon it was 2011 or 12, they changed from Cougar, K-O-O-G-A, and they were big. They were on all the sports teams. Yeah. There was some dispute between Cougar UK and Cougar Australia, and they went, well, bugger this. We'll change our names to BLK. That's when that began. Oh. Yeah. I can remember the Cougar story because they used to be on the Wallaby jersey, and I did the launch when they got it, you know, because sometimes it's Reebok, sometimes it's Adidas, sometimes it bounces around. So for a couple of years, it was Cougar, K-O-O-G-A, and they did their launch, and I did it, and I went, God, you guys are amazing, because I used to coach local schools rugby, and we used Cougar jerseys for a while. So I got to know the brand. So like they started at Helensvale, same offices, same sheds, all the way through. They expanded a lot over the years. They started in, I reckon, late 90s, and they were only doing headgear. If anyone remembers this, they started just making headgear for footy. Yep. And then a school out at Warwick said to them, listen, we're having trouble with one of the other suppliers. I won't say who it is, but a famous rugby supplier. We need some jerseys, and they won't give them to us cheap or on time. And Cougar went, oh, see what we can do. Found someone to make them. And from there, that school said, hey, this mob's incredible. Start using them. Then clubs went, oh, I've heard about this Cougar. And it just grew so quickly because the other mob that used to make them, well, I can say the name, I don't care, Canterbury, wonderful company, they said, these blokes are taking us for granted. So Cougar got the roll on. I reckon they've given away too much free stuff. That's got to be the answer. Right. And from that, so they came from making headgear to now they do everything, and now they've, whatever's happened, they've gone broke. It's
so what does
really
it mean?
Horrible.
Does it mean that the Reds and the Lions and
all I don't
those,
know.
Are they going to get, do they have the jerseys for this year or do we?
You wouldn't, you reckon you'd get delivery, let's say if the season starts in February, March, you wouldn't get delivery of your jerseys, your gear to play in until just before that, would you?
Might have to, people that might have
Jesus,
to bring
is there it. Anywhere in China you can get to make, is there any factories in China can make some jerseys? God.
Is there anyone left? Yeah. Well, it's a sad story. It was we hope
really sad.
Get their way out of it, but it is a sad story because it was great jerseys and a nice local story. So we hope they can find some positivity out of it.
Yeah, a lot of topless sport next year. All right.
Well, look, that's the other option, isn't it? Just, you could paint, the jerseys.
Is it
body paint?
It's time. It is time to do that. Yeah. Imagine the chicks digging footy then.
At last.
Schoolies. This is only my second child that's about to go to schoolies, and it'll be the last time I ever have anything to do with this disgusting thing. Now, I know I claimed back in my schoolies week that we may have started it, and then someone rang and said, no, we started it 3 years earlier. We believe it started around 1976, 1977, but then in around the 90s, someone started making a lot of money out of this.
Yes.
I've already told you the price. A lot of the towers down the Gold Coast for the room where my son and four other mates are staying is $5,000 for the week. They're disgusting little places, yet they're charging $5,000. Even Christmas time, like that's when people really get ripped off. They're probably only going for $2,000 or so, $2,500 perhaps.
Supply and demand,
okay.
My friend.
I've had that yarn. Like that money got paid. I said I didn't realise how much it hurt because Kath said, no, you were away last year. You weren't at home the night we had to pay it by the next day. That's why I said, oh, I can't remember it hurting me that much. You know, I wasn't feeling violated. But now, right, this is the week. So the last day, Harry's last day, they go to school, sing their war cry, say goodbye to all the other students, and then it's all over, and then it's time to go to school. He's as of Saturday morning. So we get the notes. The guy from the hotel, I won't mention the hotel. I'm front office manager at the hotel where Harry Martin is staying, okay? So what he wants, find attached the following paperwork, house rules. It goes for 8 pages, the house rules. Emergency contact details, that's sensible. Good
one. That's fair enough. Yep.
No party policy to be completed and signed by all occupants of the room. Now, the house rules that go for 7 weeks, it says stuff here. We do understand that most parents have mixed emotions about schoolies week and want to ensure that the week gets off to a great start.
Yeah, I understand that.
Only one parent per room is to take them down to the coast. You don't want parents all over the place fussing.
Oh, I see.
So if there's five people in the room, they want one parent to represent them.
Chaperone,
How are you going to carry all that grog in if there's only one parent? Anyway, that's nothing to do with me. Mate, some of the things. Here's the no parties on the premises. They're going to school this week. What are they thinking?
Well, they want the parties to take... Listen, let's
where
be
do
honest.
They want the parties to take place? Any
elsewhere.
Situation where the maximum number of guests allowed per party. If you've got more than the five in there, you're in trouble, you're thrown out. Any situation with the noise level, you're gone. Any situation where excessive traffic to or from your apartment is identified, you're gone.
What's excess traffic? Hang on. How do they define excess traffic?
Doesn't say. So you can't... Because they book out the whole bloody tower. There's a whole tower. Yeah, it's not just one. They reckon there's 20,000 of these schoolies. Can you imagine how much that's pumping into the economy down the Gold Coast?
Yes, I can.
If I'm somewhere, you've got to... This has to go somewhere else or it has to stop. It's just unbelievable. There are so many reasons to get tossed out.
It would be damage. I remember with us, we went to Bali, but I had friends that went to... At the Gold Coast, and one of the guys got kicked out on the second day or something.
God, that happens a lot, Head through the wall?
Drinking in the pool.
Glassware. He was drinking in the pool.
And I was like, you know what, when I was young, I was like, you know what,
$1,000 and you're gone.
Understand, but you know what it's about, don't you?
No, I don't really understand what it's about.
Who paid the bond on this apartment?
I don't know that. Is that who loses their money?
Yes.
I had last year... The kids went down there. One of the mums was a professional cleaner. She went down there and did a 4-hour job on their unit on the Saturday morning, when they were about to leave. So they got their bond back. They got their bond back. A group of five boys got the. We're just anticipating that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the extra money that they get because they get you there for the first thing and then nobody ever gets
it. It's the loose cannon. Always on a footy trip or any trip, it's the loose cannon. And these are 17-year-old kid boys. Loose cannons, all of them. What am I going to do?
I'm taking them down there.
I feel partly responsible. But this is just terrible.
I know.
I don't know how to express it, but you can't stop it. I heard that bloke on the news the other night, the boss of school, he's going, it's a tide that cannot be turned.
Yeah, that's the way it is. They're just trying to...
Biggest waste of money I've ever bloody seen.
Oh. Yep, you're paying $2,000 for a holiday. You're not even going to get to going. And
they'll be back by Monday. Oh, got tossed out. Oh,
yeah.
Start working.
You know us, Dad. We're loose cannons. I don't know why. But shark nets. Shark nets are a hot button topic at the moment because... we're seeing shark attacks around the northern New South Wales and southern Queensland area, and we're coming into peak time. And we've spoken to a lot of surfers who say, look, there's so many more surfers out there that there's just getting more and more busy. Tyler Wright, the world champion surfer, she told me the other day when she came on Have You Been Paying Attention, she said that she'd never been afraid of sharks in her whole life until after the Mick Fanning incident at Jay Bay.
That made her think. It's a lot of it's psychological. Mm. You saw that vision from Byron the other day at the pass there when that shark, the guy surfed over the top of that shark and then it took off.
Yes.
Everyone's different. But, hey, listen, we were watching him yesterday on TV. His name's Dan Munro. He's from Lennox Heads and he's the president of the Labar Board Riders and one of the spokespersons. He's on now. Don, hello, mate.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Now, you're the spokesperson for locals down there wanting shark nets because that is Shark Central. I suppose Labar, does that stand for Lennox Ballina Board Riders? Is that what we've got?
You've got it. That's it. Correct.
What are the great areas for a wave in the world, whether it is Lennox, whether it's Boulders Beach or whether it's Lighthouse, wherever? But what's going on down there, mate? What's the reality amongst you locals in terms of that's where the sharks are?
Well, you know, it's a case of it's nearly 2 years now. It's been rolling along and, you know, we've had 13 attacks, one fatal, go back a couple more years. We've had another fatal.
Yeah.
And I know in Byron, I think we've had 3 to 5 in the last 10 years, I think it is, thereabouts. I'll stand corrected on those stats. But so, you know, look, it's like, hang on, are we going to go surfing? Some aren't. And certainly parents are worried about, having their kids in the water. You know, our club has 5 to 10-year-old division, which we hold on a Sunday. We hold it the normal lever around on a Sato for the bigger guys. But you know, we bought a drone to use as surveillance for when we are in the water.
Yeah,
it's just one of those scary things, you know. I know the surf club movement in the area as well is suffering. Yeah. Our numbers are down, so it's a scary situation, and it's not going away. We've got a major issue with juvenile whites, particularly.
Yeah, so Don, the idea of shark nets. Now, so when we've spoken about this before, the knock on shark nets is that they catch not only sharks, but they catch a lot of other animals as well.
Yes, that's correct. It's an unfortunate situation, that one. But if I can quote the 2014/15 DPI. Yeah. Shark meshing program for that season. We had 189 entanglements. We had 116 deaths. Those nets are well over 200 kilometres long. They cover 51 beaches. You divide 51 into 116 and you come up with 2.3 animals that were killed. Now, that is not wiping out a species, that's for sure. And I think, wouldn't we rather save a life of a human than that of an animal? You know,
I think so.
The nets are the only proven safety measure that is available at the moment. I don't want them. No one really does because of that bycatch. But realistically, you know, we must put human life above animal life. You know, and once something else is, and I'm sure it'll come along in technology with the way it moves today, something will come about where we can, you know, both coexist. That's humans and marine life without any harm coming to either of us. But at this point, you know, it is, you know, we're a tourist destination. It's our major industry here. You know, the stuff going around the world, you know, like
Don, we're looking at school holidays about to begin in the next few weeks. Now, this will knock around your tourism. And I've been told that out of the 4 surf shops in Ballina, 3 have closed already. This is really killing local economies. And I've been told that 88% of locals down there at Ballina and Lennox Head want the nets. Are all these things true?
5,000 people were surveyed, and only 12% didn't want nets to go in. So
you're the ones living there.
That's right, exactly. And it is affecting business. The 3 surf shops really haven't shut due to that. It was just a natural process that had to come about. We were oversaturated, if you like,
But what about holidays? What about these holidays? Because I was thinking about going to Yamba. We hadn't booked with anything for after Christmas for a couple of weeks. So I was going to go to Yamba. Now, do we go there? Should I be scared of going down your neck of the woods?
Look, I'm going to say no. Come down, you know. I'm just being cautious.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Okay.
It's enough damage has been done to our tourist industry. You know, I surveyed 4 shops, 2 of them surf shops, and asked them, you know, what sort of drop in sales have they seen in the last 12 months? And the 4 of them together were somewhere between $400,000 to $500,000. So it's hurting. It's hurting, you know. There are some areas that are not. There's still people that have been coming here for years. You know, when I check some of the accommodation places here in Lennox, they're going, oh, our numbers are okay.
It's about new people, and as you say, it's about local kids, and it's about that being a sustainable area for me, people being in the water.
They've got shark nets in Sydney, Ed. They should have them up the northern New South Wales as well.
Don Munro from Lennox Heads, president of Alabar Board Riders, talking shark nets. Mate, thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, boys. Have a good day. Thank you.
Brisbane Roar take on Sydney FC this Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium. Tickets from $16 at Ticketek.com.au.